something's outside of your understanding, do you seek to learn, or do you oppose it out of hand? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a powerful message displaying our opposition to truth. It's a challenging message, but one that's very much needed in this day. So now here is Pastor Jim.
Luke 5, beginning in the 17th verse. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up from before them and picked up what he had been laying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." As we've been moving through Luke, one of the things that has been a repeating theme is Jesus' teaching. We see that he was on the seaside teaching. He was in the synagogue teaching. He was in the yard teaching. Wherever he went, he was constantly teaching. What was he teaching? Of course, the Word of God. He was teaching truth. He was teaching those things that we need to hear, those things that we have been given through the Scripture. That's what he was teaching. On this particular day, on one of those days, Luke says, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. Pharisees and teachers of the law. These are two of the groups that opposed Jesus at every turn. Just a quick overview of some of the groups, not everybody, but some of the groups that opposed Jesus. There was the Sadducees. These were a priestly class of people. They would usually be aristocrats. They'd be rich. They would be wealthy. They'd be powerful. They worked to keep Rome in power. The Sadducees, they accepted only the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, but they did not follow the oral tradition. Then there's the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in a strict observance of the law. The Pharisees were constantly adding to the law so that they would make sure that it was kept and held to the very letter of the law. The Pharisees went as far as when it came to keeping the Sabbath day holy and not to work on the Sabbath day, there'd be no work. They made a list of 38 categories of work and descriptions of work. And with that 38 categories and descriptions of work, they had over 120 subcategories of what work was, just to make sure that you didn't do anything to break that law. They filled the people with rules. They were very much people who wanted you to see their righteousness. They were people who wanted to have you draw your attention to them. There were also the Herodians. The Herodians were Jews who followed and wanted to see King Herod in control of Judah. They were a group that was truly opposed to most of the religious leadership because of their desire for Rome. There were also scribes. Scribes were considered lawyers, or they were a type of lawyer, I should say, or they were also teachers. The scribes were the keepers or the interpreters of the Jewish religious tradition. There were the chief priests. The chief priests were the leading priest These were the priests that were in control, the ruling council. There were the elders of the Sanhedrin, and there were, of course, the Sanhedrin. There were lawyers. There were zealots. The zealots, you say, well, you know, Judas was a zealot. And there was Simon the zealot that were the followers of Christ. The zealots wanted something other than what Jesus wanted. The rationale of Judas to betray Jesus was to force Jesus to become that military leader that they believed him to be. So all these groups were opposed to Christ, as well as others. And these groups, though often they didn't get along amongst themselves, they would conspire together against Jesus. So on this particular day in Luke, Pharisees and teachers of the law had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. There were literally hundreds of men who had come to hear Jesus teach this day. Now, this was not in the synagogue. This was taking place in somebody's house. All these Pharisees and teachers came to listen to Jesus. It wasn't an accident, okay? It wasn't a coincidence that they were there that day. These men were looking for reasons to accuse Jesus. They were looking for reasons to find fault in Jesus. And they came as a large group so that they could discuss these things and that they wouldn't miss anything he said that could be twisted and turned to their benefit. Because Jesus was a threat to them. Jesus was constantly calling out the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. He was constantly calling them out for their lack of grace and their lack of love, for the way that they were so legalistic and how they held the people, the average person, to a standard that they themselves couldn't keep. So they're all gathered here. Before I go any further, you know, this is still what happens in churches today. There are people who come to church to see what they can find fault in. That is not an uncommon thing, folks. People constantly are looking for fault in truth. Why would they do that? Because truth exposes us, doesn't it? When we truly measure ourselves up against truth, we're going to lose. We're going to lose because we're going to see our sin. We're going to see how far from Christ we are. We're going to see how much we truly love our darkness and not the light. And those I'm talking about are the best of us. There are those also who hate truth because it challenges their authority. It challenges their celebrity. It challenges who they are and threatens often some of these false prophets, their great income, their great fleecing of the flock. Well, those who were there listening to Jesus that day had that kind of attitude, and they were finding fault with the one who is perfect. They were finding fault with the one who had no fault, who had no sin. That's what they were there for. And so they're sitting under his teaching as if they were wanting to gain from him. They were lying just in the way and the attitude of which they came. And Luke wants to point out here, not only did they come from all over, but in that same verse, in that same sentence, or same paragraph, he points out, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. What authority was given to Jesus? Help me out. All authority. What does all mean? It means every type, every possible consideration of authority was given to Jesus, right? When was it given to Jesus? From the beginning, right? From the beginning. Jesus had all authority. Jesus was in heaven. Jesus was with God because Jesus is God. That's right. And so all authority was his. How do you challenge somebody who has all the authority? Let me rephrase that. How are you stupid enough to challenge somebody who has all authority? I mean, really, that's the question, isn't it? So these men have gathered, and Luke points out that he has all the authority he needs to heal as well. And we've seen that as we've been coming through Luke. We saw Jesus teaching in all these different places, and we saw Jesus healing in all these different places. Wherever he went, people came to hear and to be healed. So as we come into the 18th verse, and behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. From Mark, we learned that there were four men. Each of them had a corner of his bed. Some of your Bibles, some of your versions might say his stretcher. I saw that in one of the versions when I was looking at this. But there were four friends to this man who brought him. And we've pointed out in the past that this man is blessed to have friends who are willing to go out of their way for him. But just like in Mark, verse 19 says, but finding no way to bring him in, it's because of the crowd. I mean, we know that there was over, 80 cities in Galilee? And so if they're coming from every village in Galilee, in Judea, we know that there were literally probably hundreds of people just in those who came to look for fault in Jesus, let alone the tons and thousands and hundreds of people that would come looking for healing and teaching. And we know the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and we know that the estimates of that 5,000, it was just the men, and some estimate that it could have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 with the women and children that were there that day. They were coming to hear. They were coming to hear and to be healed. Why? Because nobody had ever done what Jesus did. Nobody had ever had the authority over everything that Jesus has. And it was something to behold. And so people were coming. You know, in some of these countries where the Word of God is not allowed and they have to hide to go and worship with believers to study the Bible, in some of these countries, these people will come under such great danger because there is no other place that they can hear and learn of the authority of one like Jesus. And when they are threatened with their life and they're willing to risk their life, it is because the authority of Jesus over them and the authority of Jesus to forgive their sins that they come. Verse 19 says, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Something I noticed when I was going through this, at this point, the man doesn't get up. Notice that? He's still laying there. Nobody has seen the power of Jesus yet in this healing. The man's still laying there. He doesn't understand that when Jesus says your sins are forgiven you, Jesus is saying, I'm making you perfect. That's what it means when our sins are forgiven. His righteousness comes on us, making us perfect by his righteousness. And that was his body too. But he didn't understand that. Neither did anyone else there. But when Jesus said this, the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law, they began to murmur first in their own heart and then quietly amongst themselves. You ever hear a lot of people whispering real softly? It begins to start to roar, doesn't it? When there's a lot of people whispering. Jesus knew in his heart, the scriptures tell us, what it is that they were murmuring about. I find how Luke wrote this interesting. In verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? They knew who it was. They did not travel from every village in Galilee to somebody's house for somebody they didn't know who he was. His fame had gone out. It had been a challenge to them because of their authority. They knew who it was. What they were really saying is, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is to talk like this? Who can forgive sins, it says in the rest of 21? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who does this Jesus think he is? Well, Jesus is telling them who he is, isn't he? It would have been just as easy for Jesus from the very beginning to have just said to the man, get up, take your bed, and go home. But these men came to learn about Jesus. And what they wanted to learn wasn't the lesson that Jesus was teaching them. Jesus was teaching them a lesson about his authority. Jesus was teaching them a lesson about who he is. Who can forgive sins but God? They got that right, didn't they? Who can forgive sins but God? It was only God who can forgive sins. And God is who Jesus Christ is. He's been showing his authority. He's been showing his power all through Galilee. Luke has given us several examples of healings that has taken place, of demons being cast out, of lepers being cleansed. We've seen it over and over already in the first five chapters of Luke. That's why they're there. And Jesus is saying, this is exactly who I am. He's not pulling any punches with them. And he wants them to learn this lesson well. Friends, we need to learn this lesson well. That Jesus is the final authority. Not only does he have all authority, he is the final authority. There are so many things that even those who mean well in a church want to do that do not match God's word. There are so many songs that sure sound nice, but they do not match God's word. We need to seek the truth and live in such a way that we would match God's truth. And that's very difficult, because what is the main thing we want even more than to please Jesus Christ? Who do we want to please? Ourselves. We do. We do. We say things like, well, I know what God's word says, but.
But what?
Well, I know that that's the truth, but for me, no, not for you. It's for everyone. That truth is the same for everyone. Every truth that comes from God is the same for everyone. And the truth that we better be paying attention to is the truth that says there are those who belong to Him, who have been called according to His purposes, who are His to take and call to heaven. And there are those who have rejected Him because He has not called them with that effectual call, who are on their way to hell. And folks, most of the time, it's hard to tell the difference. It is. So many talk the talk. We need to recognize, not to separate ourselves from those who are lost, but to point them to Christ. The most offensive I've been to anyone is when I feel like somebody doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, and I, even though they profess to, and I tell them about Jesus Christ. I tell you, I've offended more people with that than anything else. And I'm doing it out of love. People are offended because they want to take their false god and make it God. Isn't that what God's people, isn't that what the Israelites, the Hebrew people did in the wilderness when Moses was up on the mountain? And they gathered, well, first they went to Aaron and they wanted to make a god, and Aaron finally gave in, and they gathered all this gold and jewels, and they built the golden calf. Remember how they told Moses this came about? That they threw it in and it popped up out of the fire, and here's this golden calf out of the fire? I don't know what they thought. Moses might have stuttered, but he wasn't stupid. Not only did they do this, but they named it after the true and living God. They said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Were they making an image of Him, or were they creating another God? Well, the answer is very clear in Scripture. They created another God, and they tried to call Him by the name of the true and living God. Folks, we do that with all these different ideas of Jesus that aren't Him. We do that when we take the Word of God and we want to tweak the Word of God to fit what we want it to look like. And I have to tell you, it's easy for us to do. It's very difficult for us not to do that, because it only comes natural. We are natural people, and what comes natural is for us to want to create God in our image. But that isn't the way it was done. That's what's wrong with these people who have come looking for fault. As soon as Jesus had said, your sins are forgiven, they're talking amongst themselves. They're murmuring. They're getting worked up in their own hearts over this Jesus. And really what it came to, it wasn't the offense that they thought it was. It was they found something to accuse Him of. They found something to accuse Him of. And really what they were working up was their own self-righteous anger. And here again, I'm going to point at the church. The church is too full of self-righteous anger. It is. We get upset when we should be given grace. But even more so, those who find fault with truth have a self-righteous anger because they do not want the authority of truth. And so the fact that we are striving for and calling others to live a life according to God's word when we can't might be considered to be hypocritical. But what it is the path that God has given us, isn't it? This is the path that we have. We sin, He forgives, we call as He has called us. And if He calls those who we're calling and pointing to Him, then they receive that life as well. So they're murmuring and having all these things, and Jesus asks them, why do you question like this in your heart? Verse 23 says, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise and walk? When I was studying this, I got to thinking, this is God. He didn't have to say either one. He could have just looked at the man and he could have gotten up, right? I mean, this is God. He could have made the man know he was healed. He could have made the man jump up and say, he healed me. But he's getting his point across to those who would criticize him. But, he says, verse 24, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man. This term, I think, is used, if I remember right, like 80-something times in the Scriptures. And I think all but three of them, Jesus is calling himself that. Why did he use this particular term in this particular instance? You know, that's a question that I have. And when I look at this, I realize why it is. Who is it that he's talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees and to the scribes or the teachers of the law. They know the Old Testament. They know the Scripture. And Daniel talks about one who is the Son of Man. And so he was referring them to himself as God, as the one from Daniel who is the Son of Man. He knew that they would understand. He knew that they would get the picture of what he's talking about. So that you know that I have authority, I being the Son of Man, he says, on earth to forgive sins, and no one has the authority to do that but God. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. He's saying the words that I say to him don't matter. It's the authority that I have. That's what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. That's what he's telling the scribes, the teachers of the law. He's telling them, I have the authority. You know, if it was me, I'd be telling them that to tell them, look who you're messing with. But that wasn't what Jesus' plan was. He wasn't saying, look who you're messing with. He was saying, know who you are against. Know who you are against. In another place, he says that a man doesn't go to war, a king doesn't go to war, unless he measures the cost. He's telling him, measure the cost. Look who it is that you are challenging, so that you will know, that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. One of the things that Luke points out time and time again as we go through his gospel is the immediateness of his healing. Immediately, he rose up before them, or in view of all of them, as Mark put it, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home. We talked about this with Peter's mother. We talked about this with some of the others who have been healed along the way here in Luke. Or I said Peter's mother, mother-in-law. When Jesus heals, it is immediate and complete. Jesus completely healed him. This man who had been laying paralyzed for who knows how long. Who knows how long. Let's just say it was a couple of months. If somebody lies in a bed for a couple of months without moving, what happens to their body and their muscles? They atrophy. They become weak and they do not do what they were meant to do. And so when we have somebody that has some sort of an illness that they are down in that way for a period of time, they have to be healed or they have to be strengthened with physical therapy. And the physical therapy addresses certain muscles at certain times to begin to build it so that they can walk and do those things again. The man picked up his bed. He had the strength to pick it up and walk out with it. And it says at the end of verse 25, glorifying God. I think of the man at the Gate Beautiful that Peter and John were going in, and the man, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. And it says that he was leaping with joy. I picture this man leaping as he carries his bed home. The song, Amazing Grace, I was lost, but now I'm found. You know, this man, not only was he lost and now found because Christ had just forgiven his sins, but he had been made whole again. I talk to people who are handicapped in one way or another, or severely handicapped. And one of the things I hear is someday, you know, if you listen to Johnny Erickson Tata, someday I will be whole. Someday I will not have this wheelchair. Someday, that was the day for this man. That was the day. His sins were forgiven, his body was made whole, and he got some more time with his family in this earth. The man was glorifying God. This man, I assure you, never forgot that moment. Never. When we have been saved by God, when we have been made whole spiritually, given the hope that we can be made whole physically in the life to come, we should never forget that. And we should not forget the God who has given it to us. They, not only those who are seeking to destroy the truth, but those who profess to belong to Christ have no desire for Him. They don't understand. If they are saved, He has made them whole. If they are saved, they are no longer lost on their way to hell. He has made them whole. Why would they not have a desire for Him? Unless it had never happened. He makes them whole. But of course, those who are watching and came to be critical, they could not say anything against it, because verse 26 says, and amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things. Folks, I want those who hear this to hear that if you are a part of a church, don't be looking for ways to tear it down. Look for ways to grow in the truth yourself. Look for ways to grow in the truth. I don't know anybody, and I don't know of anybody, besides Jesus Christ, who has it all right. I have my favorite speakers, teachers, writers. I am not under any delusion that any of them are perfect and have it all right. Nor am I under any delusion that I am perfect and have it all right. And please don't be under that kind of a delusion. Come, learn, grow, take in the truth. Jesus did not say going to church would set you free. Jesus did not say, and the scriptures do not say, that professing Christ would set you free. He did not say that being a good person would set you free. He certainly didn't say that being a Baptist would set you free. But what he did say was the truth would set you free. Let's stop fighting truth and surrender to it, that we might be set free.
What a challenging truth. We're called to help grow the Church of God, and it's our great and inspiring privilege to be allowed to participate with God in the salvation of men. Any truth that arrays its forces against the truth of God will be crushed under the rock of that very truth. That rock has a name above every other name, with the authority to forgive sin. That name is Jesus, and He offers to make us sons and daughters of the Most High God. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. May God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.